Alrighty, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast, a Thanksgiving Lookout Podcast. Brought the boys here for the cheesecake, stayed for the podcast. Got my brothers here, joined with my younger brother Zach Barrett, my older brother Caleb Barrett, and for folks who've been following along, they've seen Caleb a few times, and he'll be back for the Christmas special as always. But my little brother Zach here, you know, we all grew up in Whitehall, Montana. He split, though, halfway through high school and went to Manhattan, and maybe...
Go Tigers.
Yeah, go Tigers. Yeah.
State chipper recently, baby. They were in it.
Yeah, boys and girls state champs.
Yeah, you're coaching.
Yeah,
absolutely. Assistant head coach of the cross country.
Yeah. Assistant coach, Sarah Jambers, the head coach. Shout out to Sarah Jambers. She's the awesome.
She's putting together a dynasty. You said like two times at state now?
We're starting to get a dynasty. It's awesome. Yeah,
very cool. Well, you went to Manhattan junior year and senior year, right?
That's right.
Gave up football for running.
Yeah, hung up the football cleats for the cross country spikes, and it worked out for me. So
yeah, it worked out better. And I'm taking to college and stuff, and went to NDSU first, right?
Went to NDSU for a year, and then after that, I transferred to Idaho State, Pocatello, and ran 4 years of track and cross country there. It was awesome. Yeah,
man, what a great experience. I mean, even being in North Dakota for a little bit, you know, and
yeah.
But there is nothing like, at least that I've competed in my small D2 college career, like Holt Arena. That is my favorite place.
Oh, that place is magical. It still has a wooden 200-meter indoor track. That sound of the boards is like nothing you've ever experienced before. And running on it, you've ran on it. It's amazing.
It's amazing the sound that comes off it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, they used to have some massive meets there. They had pro meets. Golden Spike Tour used to be there in the early 2000s, which was amazing. And then they had they still have the Simplot Games there for high schoolers, which is a national meet.
Oh, that's for high schoolers?
Yeah.
Simplot? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I was there. Sometimes don't they kind of overlap with one of the college meets?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I remember there was like some USA like athletes there for USA.
Oh, they used to have Olympians there at Simplot and stuff. I met Jim Ryan there. He held the high school mile record for a really long time before Alan Webb broke it at 3:55, which is insane.
Yeah. And then you met, Billy Mills, right?
Billy Mills. I met him there, got his autograph. Yeah,
for folks who don't know, and, you know, we're part Nez Perce, so we have ancestry in the, you know, Native American tribes. And Billy Mills, right?
Billy Mills is native. Won Olympic gold in an unbelievable race. If you've never seen it, you got to check out the YouTube video. Billy Mills running the 10,000 meters.
Dark horse. No one had a clue who he was. Either.
Yeah. The announcer in that is ridiculous. Like, it fires you up just watching it because he's just, look at Mills. Look at Mills. And Mills wins. He comes back from behind and passes, I don't know, five or six guys to win the gold medal. And I think it was the first ever 10,000 meter gold medalist for USA. It was unbelievable. Oh,
yeah, unbelievable. Nice. Yeah. And he had the crew cut because he's a military man.
That's right.
Too.
Yeah. Sick. If you haven't heard of Billy Mills, you got to look him up. He was an incredible character, unbelievable athlete, just a very awesome person. I met him a couple times. I met him at a couple races in Montana. He came around, and yeah, he's just a good dude. Yeah.
Just awesome, man. I mean, true American, you know, like military, American. Native American, prideful, you know, the crew cut.
Yeah.
And then he, didn't his cleats get stolen or something?
Yeah, I don't know that
story.
Or
lost him or something? I don't think he was wearing his cleats for that race. I think that was a size too big. I'll have to watch the YouTube video again, so folks listening, like, check it out, man. It's so cool.
Check that out. Even if you just watch the end, it gets you fired up. That's
for sure. Man.
Yeah, and Holt Arena was great. I mean, they had rodeos there. They used to have the...
Yep.
What was it? The Dodge National Circuit Finals rodeo?
Dodge National Finals, man. It was the bell of the ball.
Yeah.
The jewel.
Yeah.
The highest level outside the NFR.
And what a cool place for anything, right? Like, even like rodeos there were awesome.
Yeah, the whole vibe inside that, like, you can't, the sound, right?
Oh, yeah.
The sound. Well, and the cool thing is, that for folks who don't know, it looks like a giant Kwanzaa hut, and it's kind of dug in the ground. So when you walk in, you're walking above the field. So, like, as soon as you peek out through the concessions area, you're looking down into the main arena, and it's so cool. The bleachers are huge.
Bleachers are massive, yeah. Some of my favorite memories were, like, when we'd have home meets there at night. And you'd come into that place, and you just open the doors, and you hear they're just rumbling, and you hear pom 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 on the track. It was like the best feeling ever when you come in.
Singing
there.
The acoustics. I mean, the sound of the track.
The
is
heartbeat
insane.
Of Holt, man.
That's right, dude.
Deal is too on the outside. You have no clue how big that sucker is until you get in it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it looks like a Quonset, like you said, and a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like twice that size because it's dug in the ground.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. I mean, you can fit. They had monster truck rallies in there and everything, man. Like, awesome. Yeah, so and cool. You can. You can see it from the interstate when you're driving down I-15.
Football games, the whole deal, man.
Football games, yeah. It's It's incredible. I wish Idaho State was a little better at football, but it's all right.
Well, it's all right. You got to support your school, man.
Yeah, support your school.
Well, on a magical night, you never know. You might get to hang out with Benny the Bangle in downtown.
That's right. Yeah, you guys. Yeah, we had a good time with Benny the Bangle.
Yeah, so cool, man. Yeah.
We know the Benny the Bangle.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he, there's myth, the legend, and he lives up to all of it.
Yeah, he does. Incredible human being, that guy. Yeah, he's awesome. So.
Shout out to Benny right now.
Yeah, shout out to Benny right now.
Shout out to Benny, a.k.a. Joe Perdue.
Love you, Joe.
Joe Perdue, you're the man.
Yeah, we just gave your identity out, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, Joe. Well, even the story that you had about him, like, off the couch, out of shape, just like running, you know, like I can't, what'd you guys go, like a 10K or 10 mile or something? He's just like, sure.
Oh, that dude, there's some people that can just endure pain, endurance pain specifically. And he was one of those guys that it just could do it. And he ran at ISU for his entire career. He was a long distance guy and he would come to practice after he was done every now and then, or I'd just call him up because he's a great dude. We'd go for runs and just call him, hey, you want to go for 10 miles? Sure. And dude, we just got
zero training.
Zero training off the couch, and he just got it out, making
live in pain. Enjoy it. Enjoyed it.
He'd embrace it. Yeah.
Embrace the pain.
Yeah. He was the epitome of embrace the pain. Yeah, love it. Great memories.
Love you, Joe.
Yeah, love you, Joe.
Yeah, he's the man.
Great memories at Idaho State with that guy and a lot of others. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that's what's kind of the cool thing about Pocatello too. Even though you can see Holt from the interstate, you can't really see the campus. So like that was it 5th Street that you go down? Yeah. And the reason why I remember that is because the bagels there are insane. Fish Street bagels.
Bakery, man. Yeah, that place.
Best delicious. Bagels I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But I love the sleeper town. Pocatello's middle of nowhere, man. Just really an interstate, a place right off the interstate, off I-15, actually.
Oh, yeah. And people don't really know it, but the recreation there is incredible.
The whole surrounding area.
Oh, it's incredible. The trails there, if you're a mountain biker or trail runner, like, it's ridiculous. You can go forever, and it connects a bunch of different trails. There's a bunch of, cyclists there, road bikers, cyclists, all that type of stuff. Like, it's a great place to train and recreate. It's, lovely town. Yeah. Little college town.
Yeah, there's a spike base there for the Boise Smoke Jumpers, BLM base there and out of Boise, and they set that up in the summer, especially, when there's a lot of fires in the area. Yep. I got to be a rookie there. I got to meet up with Bronson there and had a great time. And we were in the Dornier, which everyone calls a doorknob, this little plane, and it's French, I think. And, or maybe it's not French, I can't remember, but it's, some other foreign.
Sounds French.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think I got correct on that one time, so I'm blanking. But we're cruising, and I'm like, you're in the fuselage facing sideways, so, the pilot's facing straight, and I'm facing, out the side of the plane, and looking at the wing. And just happened to look up as we're taking off of Pocatello, and there's this giant goose that just smacks right, just misses the prop, and I'm like staring at it, and it's loud. I mean, everyone hears it, and no one flinches except like me. I'm looking around, I'm like, no, we're good. All right, yeah, we'll just keep going, and no one even cared. I'm like getting ready to bail out the door because I'm like, I don't know if that did any damage. I mean, it was huge, and I could just see it like it hit, and then. Passed by the rest of the windows, and it was like something of a cartoon. I was
just
like,
trucked through it.
I was like, this is how we go. But then like I noticed that the pilot was a little, he wasn't nervous about it, but he was checking out the damage when we landed, and I was like, all right, like I thought I wasn't the only one who knew that happened. That was wild, man. I never had a bird strike before in an airplane, so I was like, oh man, this is it.
Especially that's like a flying bowling ball.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was loud, man. Like you said, I mean, it's thick. I mean,
goose is heavy.
Yeah, it was, man. Done any goose hunt, it's hard to bring one down.
Oh
yeah.
Absolutely.
And then go pick him up after, and that's a solid animal.
Yeah, the one you got last year was almost as tall as you.
Not saying much. I mean, no. Well, 5'6"
Yeah, I mean, he stretched out and you're holding him. I mean his beak was close to your chin, and his feet were close to your knees.
Big bird,
still,
man.
Big bird.
Canadian goose is big. Shout out to my Canadians too.
Yeah, Canadians out there.
Did you jump out of Pocatello?
Yeah. So they had the spike base out there, and it was just
because you had a T-shirt, right?
Yeah. I made a T-shirt for the Pocatello Smoke Jump base that had Joe Dirt on the back because it was August, and I was like, "Dear Tay August."
That's awesome.
Yeah, kind of church it up a little bit.
That's right. Yeah,
but there's that little pond on the other side of the runway there. I'm forgetting my directions, but I was like, well, I guess maybe we'll just ditch it in the pond. I guess if it starts to get too bad. But most of the jump planes are strong enough in their twin motors. They can, still cruise on one engine.
Those pilots are crazy too, man. They're awesome. They're
incredible. Yeah.
So solid, man.
Incredible, man.
Yeah, we had a really good one on NCSB. Yeah. But I heard back in the day, it used to train you on like emergency drills, and it's like, you know, like the pilot would get way high up and then try to, you know, nosediver and see if you could bail out and, like, you know, try to have, like, everybody roll out. And I heard it was, like, talking to some of the old boys, it was, like, real hard to get out.
Oh,
so,
man.
Like, because you're getting stuffed towards the nose, you know, so, like, climbing out of the back and trying to bail out the door.
Zero G in it and the whole
deal.
Yeah. Try to miss the wing on the way out, boys.
Yeah, that's true. Holy cow, the tail. Yeah.
That's all those World War II guys, man, they were taught to turn the plane over or climb out on the wing. And G.W. Bush, man, I read a great book about that. He climbed out on the wing and the stabilizer or the elevator in the back caught him on the way out. About knocked him out. He still got a chute open.
No Jeez, way. Man.
He flew an Avenger.
That is rad.
Three crew deal. One of the youngest guys.
Bush Senior, hey?
Yeah, Bush Senior. Yeah. 18 years old.
Whew.
That's incredible.
Cut the freaking elevator on the way out, man.
It's the history of aviation is so cool. Because even, like, was it World War One where you're talking about, like, shooting down, like, somebody and they'd climb on their wing?
Yeah.
And, like, salute you and then bail out?
The other pilot would be going by and then salute you on the way by.
Yeah.
Whatever. Shooting at each other with pistols outside of paper airplanes. Literally.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so crazy, man. The tri wings and stuff. Biplanes and, yeah.
Nuts.
Nuts, but then, so then you went to continue your backstory.
Oh, yeah.
Pocatello and then to vet school in Southern Cal.
That's right, yeah. So finished everything out at ISU, graduated, and then, head down to Southern California. Went to vet school down there in Pomona. You guys came down for graduation, and we had an epic time. So I learned to surf down there, which is awesome.
Yeah. But a lot of good breaks, not too far from campus.
Oh,
there.
So many, yeah. I mean, it was like an hour, but we used to wake up, we'd get up, my buddies, you've met them all, they're just the best. Dano, he's the man.
The crew.
Yeah. And we'd wake up, we'd have like anatomy lab at like 8 or maybe a little bit later, and we'd get up at 4 and we'd head to the beach, get a morning surf in, sunrise surf, and it was, yeah, go to Trestles, San Clemente, the Cove, PB Cove. Yeah, that was awesome. And then Huntington, obviously, classic spot to go. Like,
yeah.
I learned so much, I was just... Yeah, it's Montana kid trying to surf in some pretty legit water, but it was so fun. It was the best thing to do, especially coming from Montana, not knowing what to do, like being used to going out hunting and, you know, hiking around out here, finding something in nature, and the ocean is just the best.
Such a cool connection. Feels so much better after being on the waves. Well, we all did. Yeah, we go to the Cove, and it's like, man, we've got this place all to ourselves. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Helicopter came by real low. We're like,
dude,
this is such a cool
scene. Yeah, the Red
Bull
helicopter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Well, then we went to Chronic Tacos afterwards, and they're like, you guys are surfing? And they're like, yeah, man, it was a great day. And they're like, dude, it's like the time when sharks are cruising through, man. Like, there's a lot of sharks out right now.
Yeah.
Like, well, we didn't know.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. That week, yeah. For people listening, these guys came down for when I graduated, and it was like a week of festivities, and these guys came down. One of the best weeks of my life, hands down. Like, we went to the Cove, surfed just so hard.
Dano picked us up right from the airport and the penguin.
Yeah, the penguin.
Yeah.
Dano picks us up in the Ford, and we jump in the back, and then went straight to In-N-Out.
Straight to In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Animal style.
Yeah.
Give me the triple.
Give me the triple animal style.
God bomb.
Oh,
it's a bad mistake.
I know. I was a little heavy paddling out.
Yeah.
Especially the Cove. That's a stretch to paddle out.
Cove's too. A stretch.
A bit of a walk, and then you got some big boulders around there. You got to traverse some stuff, and then the paddle out's pretty legit. The
paddle out's legit, yeah. And then we got out there, and just a epic day. Yeah, like nobody was out because I guess, people were worried about sharks. And
Not us.
Yeah.
Too dumb to know, you know?
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, baby.
Look over, Caleb catches the first wave. It's just like, oh, man, it's on. This is awesome.
Yeah, right away, man. Well, I messed up because I caught one right after you, and I was still gassed. And I, like, rode it in because it was awesome. Like, this is the best. And then, like, I turn around, I'm like, I'm an idiot because I got to paddle all the way back out.
That's right, yeah. That was the hard part about that place. You could literally catch a wave almost all the way in. And then you got that paddle out, which was tough. But
oh, it was a beast, man.
Yeah.
Well, then, like, because I saw Dano just kind of, he was shortboarding it, we're all longboarding it, and Dano just pops off, like, right away.
Yeah.
I was like, man, well, that was a great wave. I would have rode that longer. And then I found out why.
Yeah.
I went a little too far.
Well, seasoned veteran there, that guy could just catch any wave.
Like a fish out there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's a fish. Yeah. It's fun. Fun to learn from him. But, yeah, had some great times in Southern California doing that stuff.
Well, then you get to see a different side of California that a lot of folks don't get to see, like the agriculture side, and which is super cool.
Yeah, vet school was awesome that way because I did a lot of research in Central California, and you kind of get to see where everything in America, dairy-wise, is made. I mean, Dairy Gold, all those places where all that's coming from, and just yeah, all the butter that's being made, most of it is in California. And people think of California, they think of L.A., and they think all that stuff too, as did I.
Hollywood and all that.
And Hollywood and everything. And then you go into Central California, and we were doing research when I was in vet school on dairy calves, and you see the amount of dairies that produce milk there and the amount of just ag in general, almond trees, walnut trees, orange groves.
They can grow anything there, it seems like.
Anything. I mean, it's just cool. Like, being from Montana, and you guys know this too, when you go down there and you just see orange trees everywhere and lemon trees everywhere, you're like, what is this?
Fresh veggies and fresh fruit everywhere you go. And that was a nice thing because, like, our growing season's real short. So short.
Yeah. But it was incredible to see that part. And having you guys come down was awesome. Yeah. And then graduated, and after graduation, came back to the home state. Yeah, I just couldn't wait to get back to Montana. And I got a job in Twin Bridges, worked there for 4 years, and now I'm working as a mixed animal vet in Three Forks.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Yeah. I was talking to a fellow who's, man, I don't actually know his name. He's got a Living Western podcast, and we're talking about getting together for a podcast, but he happened to just catch the Airstream because I had it out last weekend hunting, you know? And going through Whitehall, and he's like, it's cool to see you out here in this part of the world. I was like, I'm actually from this part of the world, you know? So we got to talking a little bit, and he actually worked for the Forest Service for a long time, small world. So awesome. I was like, yeah, man, my brother lived in Sheridan. He was a vet right outside of town there. So, I mean, it's cool to see all the small people. And he's got a cool podcast because he's just talking about, like, you know, like Living Western, just talking about ranching and you know, all that good stuff that goes along with it and outdoor living.
Oh, it's the best, yeah. The ranching community is wonderful. That's why I'll never really truly leave large animal medicine, because it, you know, the ranching communities, that's truly the heart of Montana, and they're the best people that you'll ever meet, you know.
Yeah, and for folks who haven't really been, you know, out in the ranching community or even any kind of ag, it's being in a little more in touch with the planet, you know, because you know, with our food supply and all the growing. I mean, because ranchers don't just ranch cattle, you know, they have they have to hay, so they have alfalfa and clover and everything else.
Grass hay,
you
got to pay attention to your entire environment, man. You can't just sit around and let things happen.
Yeah, totally. That's right. Well, I mean, your in-laws got, you know, giant piece right there in Whitehall, you know, so you got to grow up with that part too, you know, when we're living there.
That's right, man.
Well, and the ranchers have to be everything, you know. They got to be a little bit of a veterinarian. They got to be a little bit of a mechanic. They got to have a green thumb, obviously. They're growing crops. And then, they're just hardworking, down-to-earth people. They're just type of people, you come out and work, and they feed you a big lunch, and they just take you in and treat you like your family.
Yeah, just like Lombardi's you were just at the other day, man. Great family, man. Even Andrew lives right down the road from me, you know, still great buddies, and just great people, like you said. You know, sometimes the big media doesn't capture it right. You know, it's like the compassion that a rancher and a farmer has is beyond most people. Calving season is brutal. You know, and people don't understand that. Like, it's not... Yeah, if you lose a calf, it's money, but it's hard. It's hard to lose a calf, you know? For like, you work your ass off, middle of the night, freezing weather, you know? Usually it's, what is it, like January or something, you know?
Yeah, anywhere from January to May, you know?
Yeah, so, some of the toughest conditions Montana has to offer, and you're out there on a horse, you know, like, with the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best, you know, times and the most greedy times of my life were in calving season and seeing what these ranchers do, and then going out to places in middle of winter at 3 a.m. when everything's freezing on you, all my drugs are freezing, my bucket of water is freezing, and you're still trying to do your job out there. I mean, they're doing that every day.
And they're relying on you to be there too, so you gotta be there. It's not like you can just like snooze that, you know, phone call. It's like, man, you know, you told them you're gonna be there, and you gotta be there.
That's it. You're part of the community, you know. The community is dependent, and that's the thing that you find with those small ranching communities in Montana, is this, the sense of community is unbelievable. They call you, need some help, you're there, you know. You call them, they're there too, you know. They're just always looking out for each other, which is awesome. But they're the hardest working people when you think about what they do, and just the cyclic nature of raising beef cattle and growing crops and doing what they do.
When your buddy Joe Sandra being the next generation, it was a good example, because we're, you know, I was going back to school in Dillon there, which is a great community, Dillon, Montana, and staying with you, and he, you know, calving season's going full swing. I don't think he showed up for open gym with us, but he was always in the weight room, you know. He'd take a break from work to go work out and then back to work, you know, so it's like he's not sitting on the couch, you know.
That's right. No, these guys, if people don't know, and not that people are thinking this of ranchers in any way, but they're doing stuff all the time. There's always something to do, and he's a great example. He's a wonderful dude, and he gets a break in calving. He's going 9-0. calves are popping out left and right, and his brother switch him out. He goes and hits the weight room, gets a workout in, comes back.
Him and the mountain man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I got him on too. I keep forgetting about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Jake Herrick, yeah, mountain man. He worked on the Sandra Ranch for a long time. And
he's got great stories.
Yeah, he's got wonderful stories. Yeah, he's a good dude too. But yeah, just all hardworking, good people, fun to be around. That you can learn a lot from them, and it really shows you. And even the Sandra Ranch is great. Rick Sandrew, Joe's dad, he's really good about just inviting anybody. If somebody wants to see the ranching community, he'll invite anybody to come out and check it out. And 99% of the time, it seems from what they say, they change their perspective about the ranching community when they come out and see it and live it. You know, so totally.
And like, you know, if you get a chance to even enjoy some of their locally raised beef there, man, it's so much different. Anyone who's getting like their meat from a big store and maybe just don't have the opportunity, you know, like if you ever get a chance to get some locally raised beef, it's so much better. It's a different
world. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And what is that NPR that Caleb, I know you know it too, Zach, but Caleb might have it more fresh in his head. He's talking about a farmer.
You're thinking of the rest of the story. Oh, gosh. Yeah, they open up a lot of rodeos with that.
Dry as eyes.
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey. Yeah, it's Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey opens up. We actually open a lot of rodeos with that because he nails it. I'm sure a lot of people have heard it. It's worth hearing again.
Was it God created a farmer? Right?
So God made a farmer.
And he basically, in that whole presentation, like that whole poem, however you want to call it, the essay, in that whole, that it's a whole like verbal document about, you know, everything that a farmer, rancher, ag people have to go through, and they're tied to their work. It's people that work a 9-to-5. You leave that job, you don't have to think about it, you know, for the rest of the day.
That's right.
Anybody's farming, ranching, they're living in it no matter what, period. You are tied to the land.
Yeah,
they don't really have vacations like normal people do, or they can't really.
Yeah, they don't have weekends.
You know,
no weekends.
Yeah, it's not days off usually.
Yeah, typically. A little bit of off season.
Yeah.
But what's happening in the off season? You're repairing everything that broke.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Fence, tractors, balers, everything, man.
If we lost that community, it would not be good for America. So we're super thankful for them.
And thankful.
And in the rodeo community too, man, like you see it a lot too, not just yourself and obviously, you know, your wife's family, and all that is ranching community, farming community. But yeah, you see all the contestants. A lot of those guys are ranchers. A ton of your friends, you go out and help with their ranches, and it's cool.
It goes hand in hand. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's hand in glove with that. I mean, that's where it came out of.
That's right.
Rodeo came from ranching. Period. Who's better than who? Who can ride a horse that somebody said they can't be rode? That kind of deal. So,
back from breaking horses. You know, back in the day, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Somebody'd say, I got a horse that can't be rode. And another guy who say he owns the ranch would be like, I got guys that can ride that horse. That's where it came from. Be like, well, my guys are better than your guys. They'd get together in town. And there was a get together one time a summer usually. And there's kind of a chance to, you know, show off, throw down, show skills.
Prove your mettle.
Prove your mettle a little bit. Maybe prove to the boss that, you know, you got some skills, maybe some grit.
That's right.
At a community event, bring the community together.
That's it. That's where rodeos usually are encompassed with that community's gathering for the year. Always, right?
That's right.
The one time they're all coming together. A lot of times for fairs, or, you know, Whitehall's got a brand new pro rodeo. It's going to happen over Frontier Days. That's their gathering. Excited,
yeah, dude, man. What's going on with that, actually?
That's pretty cool. Dude, it's pure righteousness, man. Uncle Tim O'Donnell is kind of on the spearhead of that with a whole committee of guys, and they're entered. They're fully committed. They want to have a pro rodeo. They're doing it. They have blessings from other rodeos in the region, which is huge. Helena, man, shout out to those guys.
Thank you, Helena.
They allowed our little hometown to get entered in the game of pro rodeo and take it to the next level, to the highest level, which is massive, and I'm going to help them out with that. So there's a lot of...
I'm going to do a little bit, too, when I can help with him, especially the promotion side of things.
We're going to help him promote it, man. Mm-hmm. Go back to the hometown and do what we can to help them get it off, you know, get it off the ground, you know, get it on its feet and rolling. So
yeah,
I've got a lot I can do help that way. And so
So excited, man. Yeah, just like this platform and just other like ideas, you know, for, you know, getting the outreach out there. It's not going to take much. Radio kind of sells itself, but, you know.
Yeah, but people got to know what's happening.
Exactly.
So you got to get it out there. Let people know this is, you know, this is going down. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to showcase it, you know.
Totally,
and,
man.
And it deserves to happen in Whitehall. There's no doubt. There's a lot of major people that have come out of Whitehall. In fact, the NFR, the whole reason it is in Las Vegas is because of Sean Davis, who came out of Whitehall, Montana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Sean
Davis. Pretty special deal, man.
That is special.
Yeah. And outside of that, you know, Sean's just one guy of many that have come out of that community. There's some pretty gritty, pretty ranchy type guys that have come out of that community and have really kind of set the, you know, I don't know, set the pace for guys like me and something to look up to, and now we can pay that back in our community to help out. So
that's so cool, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's like, you know, giving back, right? Like you grow up and you're like, oh man, you know, like this town, which this was this and that was that, and then like now we're adults, we're like, oh yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah,
can change that. Exactly. We can do that. Yeah. And that's what Uncle Tim kind of like inspired me to be like, yeah, man, like why not? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
and, you know, like all the stuff that we want to make, you know, help out and make our hometown a better place, like we can do it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing holding back. And here we're on Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
Be thankful. Man. Pay it forward. That's right. Be thankful. Give.
Yeah, paid forward and paid back a little bit too. And that's where I'm just so thankful to be, you know, Whitehall, you know, raised in Whitehall and go to school there and stuff. Yeah. You know, like it's a great community. Still is, you know, went back for my 20th, 20 year anniversary, our 20 year reunion, you know, from graduating from Whitehall. And it was awesome, man. And people I haven't seen since really graduated, really. And it was just like all of us had the same thing. Like, man, we're so lucky that we had to be, to be here.
Yeah, be thankful. Like the simple, right? Just keep it simple. As we give thanks on this day, I'm really, really in the mode in my life, in reflection, simplify things. And it's so simple, like simple as your health, your family, the region you get to be in. Like we live in, what a great place, right?
Oh,
everybody wants to live here now, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know, but we're so lucky, right? We're so fortunate, lucky, blessed, everything, right? And be thankful for that. And that just, it pays itself forward when you're thankful for it, right? It makes you realize the value. It makes you live better. You have better quality of life, you know, everything.
That's absolutely right. And we are lucky enough to raise our kids here. Like, how awesome is that? You know, like to be able to do that and share that those things with our kids. And now we have that great perspective, you know, and like Luke was saying, we get to give back now, you know, like how cool is it that you have an opportunity? Because when you're young, you kind of don't, you know?
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you're in positions where you can give back. Like, like you can give back. You're a person in the rodeo community, a pillar that you are able to give back now.
Right.
To the Whitehall PRCA. And Luke's in a position now that he can help promote it. That's just awesome.
Yeah. You
know? And maybe I can talk to Uncle Tim and I can vet the radio. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, really, like,
we could be some assets there and we should be, right?
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. Like, it doesn't even take a thought. Like, yeah, I want to go help out. Help the people that helped me, man.
Exactly.
You know, they all helped us out. Let's turn around and help them out, too.
Yeah.
You know? And here we go with our kids. We get to pay it forward to the next generation and pass those lessons on and those things. All those influences of those great people that were surrounding us and helping raise us takes a whole community.
So I was just gonna say,
Now we're gonna keep that community going. Whether we're, you know, it doesn't matter if we're here in Stevie or in Manhattan, Whitehall. It doesn't matter. The whole community of Montana, we're all family. Nobody's that separated in Montana, anyways. You know, you're one person away from knowing everybody in Montana. So.
That's right.
That's I love it.
That so lucky, man. So one, like you said, giving it back to you because like it was a whole community. I mean, like all the people that, you know, we stayed, you know, the Clark's house and the Reeds and stuff, you know, all those families that took us in on the weekdays and stuff, man. And like, just awesome. And then, you know, also the fact that I couldn't go anywhere, like going to Bone Basin or, you know, Mill or anywhere. And my dad, you know, our dad would be like, so I heard you're up there, you know.
Yeah. Somebody knows.
Whether it's like Dean Koontz or, you know,
don't get away with anything.
You know, like talking to Dean Hanson, one of those guys, you know.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. Well, and like, another thing too, Zach goes to Manhattan and there's a whole community of people there that accept him in his arms, take him in, give him, you know, a place to be able to thrive, you know, be able to add to that community. There's a whole lot of, you know, the students, some of your fellow students and their families, they take you in, you know, outside, you know, you're over there living with our uncle, which is, you know, he gave you a chance to be in a spot.
Yep.
And then that whole community had to take you in.
They did.
You know? And they did. That's great.
And they did. Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm unbelievably thankful for that.
Yeah, and you're giving it back, man.
Yeah,
you're at the state chipper.
That's right.
Giving the knowledge, the experience that you have, helping out, being an assistant coach there with a friend, you know, like, and adding that knowledge, the experience you have to those next athletes that are coming, it's massive. I mean, we didn't get a ton of influence. I did in some ways, but, you know, just to have the value of somebody who's been there, done it, raced at the level, the highest level, you can be D1 athlete. So you can take a lot of the, I don't know, a lot of the mystery, a lot of the fear, a lot of the, what do I do here? And also give tips, techniques, pointers to do it at the best level you can.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's all I could think about when the opportunity presented itself, just like all of us have done, you know, recently. It's like we've gotten to this point in our lives where we do,
yeah,
we can give back. And all I could think about was, you know, running has done so much for me in so many ways my entire life. It opened so many doors for me. And Manhattan, the Manhattan community itself. So if I can give back in a small way and help, you know, these kids, you know, compete at their best and do their best in any way possible, like I always told myself I was going to give back to running,
yeah,
because of what it gave to me. And to have that opportunity and be able to do that and be part of the community, is it's so special. I mean, and this is just a side story, but like when I was in high school and graduated in 06, so 05, it was cross country. We won state. Came back on the bus, and it's just a wonderful part of the community where you come back on the bus from winning a state championship, and there's a police car waiting for you on the exit. Gives me chills just talking about it.
Yeah.
There's a police car waiting for you at the exit, turns its lights on and sirens, and you follow it all the way through town, and literally everybody in town is out clapping their hands and cheering, and you just make a loop through town. Everybody's coming out from their houses. It's like Remember the Titans.
Yeah, is what it reminds me awesome.
Of. Like everybody's coming out of their houses and just clapping and cheering, and you just get a whole police escort through town. It's unreal. And I did that in 05, and then now in 2024, that was the next time I rode the bus and did that was almost 20 years ago.
So, oh man.
And got had the same bus ride with different students that I got to be a part of and help, you know, in
and
a,
share that
in a
you just got to share that whole experience with the whole next group, right?
That's right.
That's massive.
Yeah,
it's massive
and so cool. And yeah, I can't Coach Sarah Jamber, I can't shout her out
enough. Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah, she's the best, and she's starting to create a dynasty there again, you know, and it's unbelievable to see, and it was so great to be a part of. But to have that come full circle and be able to give back to the community that gave me so much, so much. Like, that community took me in. I felt like a feral cat going over there. Yeah. And they just took me in. So many of my friends' families fed me, you know, and just wanted to make sure I was good to go. Like,
it looked out for you, you know, like it's a big family. Small towns are big families, if you're in a good one. Most of them, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, like, It's I mean, you still run, go back to Whitehall, you know, like go to Ace and Whitehall. That used to be coast to coast. And it's like, man, you run into anybody, everybody, you know.
You can't go to it's changed from the IGA, but the grocery store, you know, you can't go in the grocery store, the gas station, whatever. You're going to run into somebody you know, and it's a good thing.
And it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it, man.
I love that,
it's
too.
Like, it's like a Hallmark movie. You know, some people watch those Hallmark movies, and it's like, it's a real life for us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we're lucky.
A lot of Montanans, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, shoot, that's, you know, I know you got to work tomorrow, and you got to get you're going hunting tomorrow, too.
We're going hunting tomorrow, I'm going to try and get some hit a buzzer beater before hunting season's over, get myself an elk, maybe.
Maybe tomorrow evening I might try to get out myself.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, a lot going on. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and, thank you guys for coming out. And
thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having us, man.
And that's then, awesome. If people get a chance, check out that Paul Harvey, was it God Made a Farmer?
Yeah,
Google that.
Yeah, all you'd have to type in is Paul Harvey Farmer, and you'd see it. It's worth watching.
It's really worth watching. Yep. Yeah, and then Billy Mills as well.
Oh, you got to look up Billy Mills.
Look up Jim Thorpe. That's
Jim Thorpe. That's what I was going to say.
That's whose cleats got stolen.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Jim Thorpe, man.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
He set the tone for Native athletes in the world stage.
Specimen. Yeah. That's right. For folks who don't know, a lot of people know like Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, all these multiple sport athletes that were amazing, but Jim Thorpe was like the original.
He was the OG.
And they outlawed him from doing. He couldn't play professional sports, but also play at the collegiate or the Olympic level. So he didn't have the same opportunities, unfortunately, because the rules were just different. Mm-hmm. So he was by the guidelines, he was not allowed to get paid and be an athlete at the same time. It's a lot different now.
Yeah, it was the AAU stuff back then, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. But that was just against the guidelines and the bylaws, so he wasn't allowed to do it. And it held him back a little bit, but also showed like he truly a legend.
legend.
Maybe the greatest athlete that we know in modern times.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument there. Like the last special I saw was saying that, like, he's, you know, it's hard to measure, right? Because they're not on the same playing field, but just his stats and the way he stood out, his time was. Yeah.
For his time, right?
Yeah.
You got to look at that. Like, even Wayne Gretzky says, if I was playing hockey at this time, it'd be a different game. But he played in a different era. He changed the game.
He changed. Yeah,
Mike Jordan changed the game.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally. What was the story real quick about the cleats? I can't remember. I thought it was Billy Mills for some reason.
No, it was Jim Thorpe. Well, he was there. Simple as, like, somebody who knows, whoever the opponents were, somehow found his cleats, and he ran in cleats that were, like, they didn't fit. I don't know whether they were big or small. At the Olympics. Oh. And destroyed it. I think it was a decathlete. And rocked them all. It didn't matter. Like, he didn't care. Like, he went on with it. Found some cleats in the garbage or something.
I think they're mismatched cleats, even maybe, if I remember.
I think so. Right. If you look at, there are pictures. Fact check it out. But there are pictures where he's wearing two different cleats out there. And he didn't say anything. That's the other thing. I don't think he even talked about it.
No.
Because it was no thing. He didn't care.
Yeah.
He was going to go there and win.
That's a championship mindset right there.
Yeah. There was no excuse.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't matter what happens, I'm still going to win.
Yeah. Period.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks again, fellas.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, man. And shout out to this podcast, man. This is awesome. Yeah. I love what you're doing here, and this is so cool.
Yeah thanks. Yeah, yeah, trying.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it rolling. Keep sharing the stories, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Be thankful.
That's right.